morning, everyone. Welcome to church, and special welcome to anyone listening online. And especially, even more especially, to our speaker today, Reverend David Antonies, chaplain at Concord Hospital, and his wife, Michelle. My name is Roy, and helping in today's service. Okay, thank you. And helping in today's service, musicians, Sam, Rosemary, Young Lan, Linda. And reading to us from the Bible later is Coral. And leading us in prayer later on still will be Fiona. Let's begin with the opening prayer. Heavenly Father, you've brought us here today. This time we meet with you and your people is special. Help us not to take this moment with you and your people for granted. Take our anxious thoughts and let us know your peace, your presence, your power. May we listen to your word with expectation. Engage in what we pray and say, and worship you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So, as already said, Reverend David Antonies is our visitor, and he will be giving us our teaching on the Bible reading today, helping our further understanding. And David, I understand you're going to talk to us today about a tax collector.
Yes.
Tell us who, as we go about our life in Canada Bay these days, would be the modern equivalent of the tax collector of Jesus' day?
Oh, that's a very good question. I would think, you remember the brown bombers, the people, the parking ticket people?
Oh,
I remember those guys. But yeah, but today we continue our encounters with Jesus. This time, Jesus transforms and he meets Zacchaeus. And it's a strange encounter. It'd be a bit like me walking down this aisle and going, Margaret and Brian, I'm coming to your place for lunch today. Now, how would you feel? And it's a very interesting encounter because there's different reactions, not only from, in this case, Brian and Margaret, but also from the crowd, the people watching on, and what they think about the situation. And so it's worthwhile listening to this particular encounter with Zacchaeus. Jesus transforms.
Thank you, David. Yes, as you said, we're continuing our sermon series of When Caring Seems Wrong, that Trevor commenced last week.
It's playing up this morning.
It was mapping up,
yeah. Yeah, it had all split open this morning.
There we go. Okay. Our mission focus during this month of May will be ministry with refugees, and particularly as we support through the agency of Cameron and Lara Blair with their pioneers, and also an Anglican police chaplaincy. We've met together to thank God, to meet with Jesus, and to encourage one another while we wait for Christ's return. We shall praise God with our words and by what we do. We shall hear from his holy word, and we shall pray for the church and for all people. To prepare ourselves, let us hear from the Word of God, our sentence of Scripture today. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let us now confess our sins to Almighty God. Most merciful God, we humbly admit that we need your help. We confess that we have wandered from your way. We have done wrong, and we have failed to do what is right. You alone can save us. Have mercy on us, wipe out our sins, and teach us to forgive others. Bring forth in us the fruit of your Spirit, that we may live as disciples of Christ. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. God wills that all people should be saved, and in response to his call, we acknowledge our sins. He pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Therefore, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, to whom be blessing and honor forever. Sing to the Lord a new song.
For he has done marvelous things.
We sing now our first song. Let's please stand.
Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet your tribute bring. Let's praise God together.
Thank you.
While you're still standing, please just take a moment to look around, greet the people around you, behind you, either side. And meanwhile, the children will now leave for their kids' church. Okay, please be seated. And Coral will be coming up shortly to bring us our Bible reading today from the Gospel according to St. Luke. And if you'd like to, if you want to follow it in the Bible, it's in page 1052 in the Pew Bibles. Or alternatively, you can follow the Bible reading on the screen now.
We're reading from Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Carl. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you. It's lovely to be here again, so thank you for having me. And today's sermon is Jesus Transforms. It's a story of Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus from Luke 19. We have three headings up on the screen, and they are also in our service sheet. And Zacchaeus is a tax collector. Now, tax collectors were Jews appointed by the Romans to collect taxes. But the Jews despised tax collectors as traitors working for the enemy. Tax collectors also collected a commission for themselves, yet they were free to extort people, and they became very wealthy. And Zacchaeus is wealthy. But tax collectors were despised by Jews and the Romans, and a tax collector had very little or no standing in the community, being ostracised as sinners. The only people that had any time for tax collectors were people as sinful or as corrupt. And Zacchaeus was the chief amongst these tax collectors. In Luke 19, Zacchaeus encounters Jesus for the first time. But Zacchaeus would have known about Jesus, because we see in verse 3 that Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. Now, back in Zacchaeus' day, news travelled by word of mouth. That's how the Pharisees came to know about Jesus, even as far away as in Jerusalem. So Zacchaeus would have heard about the miracles and teachings of Jesus. And now Jesus is entering Jericho, and the crowd is forming to see Jesus. And Zacchaeus is in the crowd. So what would have prompted Zacchaeus to want to desperately see Jesus? To understand this, we need to have a quick review of some key episodes in Luke's gospel. And conveniently, Luke places them all in the previous chapter, almost as though it's part of Luke's plan to prepare us for the story about Zacchaeus. And these episodes would have prompted questions from Zacchaeus about the person of Jesus. Episodes that contrast what Jesus does with who Zacchaeus is. What Jesus does with who Zacchaeus is. Now, in Luke 18, we have the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. For Zacchaeus, it's a contrast of two righteous men. Both the Pharisee and the tax collector come to the temple to pray. The Pharisee thanks God, saying, "I am not like sinners, even this tax collector. I fast, I give a tenth." In contrast, the tax collector says, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." The Pharisee was saying, I declare myself righteous. But Jesus says, "I tell you, this man, rather than the Pharisee, went home declared righteous before God." Declared righteous before God. Hearing this parable regarding a sinful tax collector may have prompted Zacchaeus to question, "But as a chief tax collector, could I also be declared righteous?" Then we come to the episode where a blind beggar receives his sight. From Zacchaeus' point of view, it contrasts two mercy needers. The blind man calls out to Jesus, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Mercy reminds us of the tax collector who prayed, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus says to the blind man, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man replies, "Lord, I want to see." Now, this episode occurs just as Jesus is approaching Jericho, where Zacchaeus is. News would have gone ahead of about the blind man and Jesus meeting his need. And for Zacchaeus, the question is, could Jesus possibly have mercy on me and meet my need? Well, in the reading, we see Zacchaeus dramatically transformed when he encounters Jesus. But Jesus doesn't perform any miracles upon Zacchaeus, like with the blind man. Jesus just invites himself to stay, and that seems to transform Zacchaeus. So how is Zacchaeus transformed by Jesus? And what was Zacchaeus' need? And it's all to do with Zacchaeus' name. Now, in the NIV, it doesn't convey the subtlety of this man named Zacchaeus. A very literal translation of verse 2 would have Luke introducing him as a man with a name while calling himself Zacchaeus. It appears that people called him by another name. Probably not a nice name, given he's a chief tax collector. Maybe they called him chief traitor or something worse. The point is that people didn't call him Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was the name he gave to himself. Ironically, as opposed to him being a sinner, the name Zacchaeus means righteous. Zacchaeus wanted to be called righteous, and therefore become acceptable before God. Jesus has just shown mercy to the blind man in need, and he told the parable concerning the tax collector who sought mercy as a sinner, and that tax collector was declared righteous. So for Zacchaeus, the question is this: could Jesus possibly have mercy on me and call me righteous? And so Zacchaeus comes to see Jesus, but Zacchaeus can't see Jesus because Zacchaeus is short in stature and short in standing. Being short in stature means he can't see over the crowd, and being short in standing means that no one respects him as a tax collector. More so, no one will even let him near them because he is a sinner, let alone let him through to the front so he could see. So Zacchaeus runs ahead, climbs a sycamore tree. Jesus walks along and seeing this man up the sycamore tree, and Jesus speaks to him. And what's the first thing that Jesus says to him? His name. Not the name used by other people. Jesus calls out to him, Zacchaeus. The name that means righteous. And after telling Zacchaeus to come down, what does Jesus then say? I must stay at your place. Now, I don't think Jesus needed to tell him to come down. I think after hearing Jesus call him Zacchaeus, and that Jesus must stay at his place, Zacchaeus would have fallen out of the tree. Zacchaeus, because for Zacchaeus, Jesus not only calls him righteous, but he's coming to stay with him, to stay with a sinner. Jesus considers Zacchaeus worthwhile to receive mercy and to be called righteous. Now, the crowd did not consider Zacchaeus worthwhile to receive mercy and be called righteous. They were responding like the Pharisee in the temple declaring himself righteous when he compared himself to the tax collector as a sinner. In verse 7, they murmur that Jesus has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But now Zacchaeus, having been validated by Jesus in receiving mercy and being called righteous, responds, Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. It is a generous sacrifice. Importantly, Zacchaeus gives not to receive mercy and righteousness. There was nothing that Zacchaeus could offer. Nevertheless, Zacchaeus gives in response to receiving mercy and righteousness. And Jesus responds in verse 10, declaring to Zacchaeus and to the dubious crowd that this generous sacrifice by Zacchaeus proves salvation has come upon his house. Salvation is evidenced in our changed lives. Jesus transforms. But is the transformation that Jesus performs just one into salvation? To rescue us from the sea of sin onto the ship of salvation until we reach the shore of eternal life? Maybe something like passengers on a cruise liner having a vacation from doing any work. Our response to God's mercy for righteousness should not be unlike Zacchaeus's. Zacchaeus transformed his life by using his resources for righteousness, and thereby he has not only been transformed by being called righteous, but is transforming himself to be righteous. He is not a cruise ship passenger. So now that Jesus has done for us what we could not do for ourselves and be assured of the salvation in Jesus, can we just sit on the side of the ship of salvation and continue living our own lives? People may respond, yes, because I've been forgiven and I have Jesus on my side. But we don't have Jesus on our side. Rather, we are on his side. He is the captain of the ship. He rescued us from our sinking ship, and we are now his crew. We have not been transformed to continue in our own ways or for our own benefit. We have been transformed to be on his ship, and that means we need to be his crew. And what is for what purpose have we been transformed? As in Romans 12, it says, in view of God's mercy, to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. We don't live for ourselves or do the things we want. Rather, we do the things Jesus, our captain, wants. But we struggle to do what he wants, don't we? The problem for us is we tend to return back to sin. Then we're in danger of becoming this guy. Now, this guy's name is not Zacchaeus. His name is Luke. Lukewarm. He's dressed for the part but not playing his part. Dressed by Jesus in clothing of righteousness but not living righteously as a living sacrifice for Jesus. And this brings us to our second heading, lukewarming or spirit working. Lukewarm says he believes, but he doesn't live as a believer. He's hot in thought, but cold in action, making him lukewarm. And being cold in action can simply mean no action, just like sitting on the side of a ship of salvation. Or even the wrong action by continually and deliberately swimming in the sea of sin. And we might think it's much worse in this analogy to swim in the sea of sin than to sit on the side of the ship. But when we sit on the side of the ship, we can allow our feet to dangle in the sea of sin. Because whether we're sitting or swimming, we're in danger of becoming lukewarm. And this analogy of sitting or swimming is incorporated into our confession for the Anglican service of morning prayer, where it says, we have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. And what does Jesus say about being lukewarm? In Revelation 3:16, Jesus says, because you are neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Being lukewarm means not receiving salvation. So this begs the question, Jesus transforms us to save us, but now we need to transform ourselves to remain saved? There is human responsibility on our part, but we're not left alone in living for God. The Father did not abandon us in our sinfulness. He sent his Son to die for us that we might be saved. And neither does the Father abandon us now living righteously for him. He sent his Holy Spirit to work within us, to continue transforming us, if we draw on his strength. And thereby God has provided a way for us not to be lukewarming, rather to be spirit working. Spirit working is not working in our own strength, rather working in the Spirit's strength. Playing our part is not doing the task, rather allowing the Spirit to transform us to become more like Jesus. If we focus on just doing the tasks, then we miss out what underpins the tasks, building character, so that we become more like Jesus. because it's not about doing holy things. It's about being holy. And when we're being holy, the natural consequence is we do holy things, isn't it? In 1 Peter 1, it says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy." Being adopted as children of God, we therefore adopt his characteristics. And being the children of God brings us to our final heading, defiant or reliant. Now, we know the gospel, that Jesus has done the work for us at the cross once and for all to bring all who believe into salvation. My concern is that we remain within that salvation. We can try to be living sacrifices all by ourselves, even though God has provided us his Holy Spirit to help us. And in a sense, we then only live half the gospel. That is, we depend on God to save us from sin, but we don't depend on God for living for him. And when we don't depend on him, we are in danger of becoming lukewarm. One time I shared with a Christian that each time I go shopping, I pray for a parking spot. The person responded that he would never ask God for such trivial matters. Another time I was talking with a Christian, she was trying to work her way through an important work situation. I inquired whether she had prayed about it, and she responded that she didn't need to. God had given her a brain, and she was capable of working it out by herself. These two attitudes express a range of thoughts, ranging from it's trivial to I'm capable. And both of these lead to not talking to God. So when do we talk with God about ourselves? Only when we're in trouble or need forgiveness. And in this scenario, we can treat him like marine rescue, calling on him only when we are in need. I think we all experience this to some degree. When we reflect on when we were closest to God, it's usually when we have become completely dependent on him. Usually when we are in desperate need of his help. The question is, how do we primarily view Jesus? Is he captain over all aspects of our life, whether it's trivial or I'm capable, or is he just marine rescue when I need him? Because if he's not your captain, he's not your marine rescue. If he's not your Lord, then he's not your Saviour. And you are in danger of being lukewarm. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 includes the command, pray continually. And when we continually share our thoughts with God, as we go about living our lives for him, praying over situations, even the trivial matters, or the things that we could do all by ourselves in our own strength, it demonstrates our understanding that he is sovereign over every situation and all aspects of our lives. When I am weak, then he is strong. When we share our lives with God, we demonstrate our complete and utter dependence on God. We become humble. And it honours him as sovereign in and over everything. And rather than engaging with him transactionally as marine rescue when we're only in trouble, we engage with him relationally as our Heavenly Father, being his beloved children. The choice is whether we want to be a defiant child and try to do it in our own strength to prove ourselves worthy, and thereby, like the Pharisee, declare ourselves as living righteous, or as a reliant child, humbly admitting that we are not capable to be worthy of the calling in our own strength alone, and continually needing his mercy. So in God's mercy, he has not only brought us onto the ship of salvation, but he has empowered us now to be his crew, living for him through the Holy Spirit. And the more we rely on God and not on our own strength, the more we become like Jesus, because we cannot be righteous on our own. That is the gospel. We need Jesus' mercy. Jesus transforms us to become more like him. Jesus transforms, and his Holy Spirit is transforming. Both are only possible if we submit to Jesus as the captain over our lives, to be truly both Lord and Saviour. Let me pray. Oh, Father God, we need your help. We struggle. And at times, it means that we are in danger of becoming lukewarm. We need your mercy. Father, help us to call on your help to be living sacrifices for you, to be part of your crew. We need your help. Remind us to continually talk with you, to pray, to engage with you, not just once a day, in the beginning of the day, but all through the day. And as we engage with you, transform us in our thinking to become more like Jesus in everything we do, and in doing so, that we would become living sacrifices and be transformed just like Zacchaeus. Father God, bless us this week. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Okay, please stand for our next song.
Conquer every rebel power.
Okay, while we're standing now, let us say the oldest of our three creeds, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated now. Let us say together today's psalm, that beautiful psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Fiona now will be coming up to lead us in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray.
Please join with me as we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Keep our nation under your care. Let your way be known on earth. Send out your light and truth. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the coronation of our new King. We pray, Lord, that he would be guided by your Spirit, that he would uphold your truth, that he would seek your wisdom in how to lead the Commonwealth and how to interact with all other nations. Father, we pray that you would work humbly through him. May your Spirit continue to fill him. And we pray, Lord, that he would serve in ways that we might not see, but in ways that always bring your good. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus himself at one stage was a refugee. For most of us, we have no idea what that means. the insecurities, the difficulties, and the challenges. But Jesus knows. And we thank you for the Blairs and the work they do with refugees. We thank you too for Cumberland Shire working to help people understand the refugee in their neighbourhood. Lord, we pray that for the Blairs, you would keep working through them, that you would raise up good people that they can continue to train to work with them. We pray that Jesus would be central in not only their message, but the way they live and the way they serve the refugees that they work among. We thank you for them, Lord, and pray that you would keep growing your kingdom through them for your glory. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Loving Father, we thank you and praise you that you continue to work in this community. Lord, we thank you for our local mayor. We thank you for those who are on the council. And we pray, Lord, that decisions that they make would be guided by you. We pray that you would protect them from corruption and injustice and self-serving themselves. Father, please continue to have this place as a place of peace where people may prosper and continue to delight to worship you and live your way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the upcoming events. Thank you for the Mother's Day breakfast next week. We pray for those, Lord, who will be coming. We give thanks that Margaret Bassett will be coming to share with us, encourage and inspire us. And Lord, in your mercy, we pray for a time of rich fellowship. We pray that you would continue to build up the church here, that we may serve as a light in this nation and may continue to draw people to the one who gives meaning to their life that they cannot find anywhere else. We give thanks also for the ways that Trevor serves at Chiswick Manor and at Bayswater, and pray that the Christians there would continue to feel a part of the body of Christ, that they would continue to know they are valued, they are precious, they are important, and that they matter. Lord God, we pray also for the upcoming EQUIP conference and pray that the speakers for that would continue to be inspired by your Spirit. We pray that your truth would be taught well, and we long, Lord, that you would be working mightily not only through this conference, but through all conferences where people seek to bring glory to your name. So, Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Continuing in our prayers, let us pray that we may enjoy true freedom together. God our Father, look upon us with your love. Redeem us and make us your children in Christ. Give us true freedom and bring us to the inheritance you promised. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, ever and ever. Almighty God, you have given us grace to bring before you with one accord our common supplication. And you promise that when two or three are gathered together in your name, you will grant their requests. Fulfill now, Lord, the desires and petitions of your servants, as may be most expedient for them, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen. For our announcements, I draw your attention to the news and notes, which you can take away and read afterwards, but a couple of things that we'd like to highlight to those of you who might not read the news and notes. And first of all, Rosemary, you'd like to say a few words.
Ladies, next weekend, that's your special weekend. It's Mother's Day on Sunday. So on Saturday morning, we're going to have a Mother's Day breakfast. We're having a lovely pancake breakfast. And Margaret Bassett is coming to speak to us. So we're looking forward to that. And there will be a time where we have somebody very special in our congregation, I won't let on who it is, who is going to share their testimony with us. So it will be a great morning. And so I encourage you to come along. You can bring your daughters, you can bring your grandmothers, your aunts, whoever you want to bring along with you. Pop your name up on the list at the back of the church if you know today that you're coming, but don't feel pressured. If you want to come and you haven't got your name on the list, you can still turn up on Saturday morning. So it will be a great time of fun and fellowship together. So please join us.
And I understand Trevor also would like to say a few words.
Thanks, Roy. As you leave today, I'll be giving you the latest Southern Cross magazine that's coming out, so that you go home and hopefully will read it. There's some really good articles in here. It does keep you up to speed with what's going on in the wider Anglican Church throughout the world and also within Australia. There's some articles in there about the value of a mother in one's life with one's faith. There's also an article in there about police chaplains. There's two new police chaplains that have joined the force in Sydney Diocese, and there's stories in here as well. There's also great little reviews, book reviews. Peter Jensen's just written a new little book on doctrine, it's a basic doctrine little book on wishing. He was saying basically he wished he's done his lectures on the way in which he's done this little book when he was back in college. And but please, this is a really good magazine just to see beyond the local church, to see where we fit into the overall wider Anglican Church, of which often we may hear about on the radio and the news, and to keep you up to speed with what's happening. Thanks.
And if you'd like personal prayer after the service, then Tony and Barbara will be down the front here to do that. And after this service, we invite you all to morning tea, to spend it in the foyer, probably not spilling out onto the lawn today, but into the foyer or even back into the church, just to keep our distances, to continue to be COVID safe. We thank you very much for the continuing offertory and regularly supporting this church, whether it be online by the offertory box at the back of the church, and also for filling in the donations envelopes for the monthly mission focus, which you find at the end of each pew. Let me just pray about this. Heavenly Father, accept our giving towards ministry in this place and beyond. We bring these gifts to you as a token of our love and gratitude. Grant that they be wisely used towards your kingdom work and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And before we leave today and sing our final song, a reminder of the sentence for Scripture. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let us say together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. And please stand now for our final song. All I am. I did do it two or three times though. After you'd given it to me.
Yeah, but that's why, because it had been in my hot little hand while I was practicing.
I see, and then it got cold.
It got cold.